Hello and welcome to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM. My name is Carl Ojachowski and I am your host for this morning. On today's show, we'll be doing something a little bit different than we normally do. Normally, we have interviews with guests that come into the studio or we give them a call and talk to them from many, many miles away. But every once in a while, we get CIUT is kind enough to give us some great recording equipment, which allows us to step out of the studio and off the phone line and go and do something on location. And that's what we did a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago now. Lauren and I went to the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary, and it was Peace Day, which was presented in cooperation with the Jane Goodall Institute. And they had an amazing day of fundraising and activities for the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. And if you haven't heard about the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary, you can check out a website, www.storybookfarmprimatesanctuary.com. They are a primate sanctuary that operates out of central Ontario, and they are run by Sherry Delaney and her intrepid group of amazing volunteers who keep that place going. And we've actually done a show about them in the past, so if you check out our website, www.animalvoices.ca, you can find out a bit of background about the place. But what we're going to do is we're going to hear a bunch of recordings that were done that day on Peace Day just recently. The Primate Sanctuary is not normally open to the public. It's not a zoo. So these are sort of glimpses and tours that you get into the place that you wouldn't normally get otherwise, and we thought it would be worthwhile to share that with you. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first I wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping slash news. I wanted to give a huge thank you to everyone who came out to the Shack benefit that happened this past Tuesday, October 6th. It was really an awesome night, great acts. Thank you so much to Jill for organizing it, and thank you to everyone who came out and made the night a success. They raised almost $900 for Shack, and that is amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. The first bit of news, maybe some more pleases and some more thank yous can be generated through this one. This is a direct message from the Sea Shepherd vessel. And if you don't know Sea Shepherd, you can check out seashepherd.org for more information. They're a conservation society that goes around with Captain Paul Watson, and they go around and try and disrupt various injustices that are happening to the world's marine life. So the Sea Shepherd ship, the Steve Irwin, has a bit of a food wish list. This is a direct message from them. Hello all. As you may know, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society sends a ship to Antarctica each year to stop the Japanese whaling fleet from killing whales. What you may not know is that the entirely vegan Sea Shepherd ship must rely completely on donations from the public for its supply of food. And food is, of course, one of the only pleasures you're going to get in Antarctica, so good food is prized more than gold there. Well, Sea Shepherd has finally decided its ship's food wish list for this year. Operation Waltzing Matilda, which is Sea Shepherd's next Antarctic campaign to save the whales, takes off this December, so there's still time to help stock the ship. The ship is currently in Australia, so it may be hard for some people to donate to the ship, of course. But if somebody has a friend who has a friend in Australia or has a great deal on FedEx and blenders, then who knows, concerned citizens from around the globe may eventually pitch in to supply the ship with all it needs. If you want to help but can't get items to Australia affordably or fast, you can always donate money directly to Sea Shepherd by going to their website, seashepherd.org. But if you can get stuff to Australia affordably and fast, here is their wish list. The Steve Irwin current wish list is, in terms of food, they need things like sourdough starter, blenders, wooden chopping boards, tea towels, scissors, hand wash, hand blenders, juicers, black polar fleece, balaclavas, laptops, etc. That's obviously not just food. Specifically just food, they need things like tempeh, tofu, soy milk, olive oil, brown rice, icing sugar, smoked paprika, Bragg's bouillon, amino acids, lemons, limes, soft drinks, fruit juice, fresh herbs, fake meat products, tofu-y products, soy veggie, hot dogs and sausages, etc., etc., etc. And they also, these are non-food related items, but very badly needed, AAA batteries, portable battery chargers, and good quality handheld marine radios. So if you happen to have any of those kicking around your sheds or places of business, do see if you can send it to them. That's Sea Shepherd irishnews.org for more information. And the first piece of news coming to us today from irishtimes.com. The headline is, Animal Welfare Groups Welcome Ban on Fur Farming. Animal welfare and rights groups have welcomed the Green Party program for government as a victory for animals here, particularly the ending of fur farming in 3 years. CAFT Ireland, which is the Coalition to Abolish the Fur Trade, said it was absolutely thrilled its greatest goal had been achieved by the Green Party, and it would now turn its attention to banning fur imports. Bernie Wright of the Alliance for Animal Rights said it was the best day in 20 years in the campaign for animals. She said the banning of fur farming, the ending of stag hunting after March next year, the ending of badger culling when a vaccine against bovine TB was found, and promised new animal welfare legislation was a major victory. Quote, thank you, Green Party, and thank you, John Gormley, she said in a statement. Compassion in World Farming said the ban on fur farming was a major step forward for animal welfare standards in the Republic of Ireland. Quote, we congratulate the Green Party on its commitment to improving the protection of animals. The ban on fur farming will send out a strong message to the world that Ireland takes farm animal welfare very seriously, said Marianne Bartlett, director of the organization there. And the next and last news piece coming to us from the EdmontonSun.com. This is a type of story that we've covered before, but it's always good to have a bit of a reminder of this interconnection. The headline is, Victim Talks About Connections Between Animal Cruelty and Domestic Abuse. If you don't think that animal abuse and domestic violence are connected, talk to Glory. Her brother sadistically beat and abused Glory throughout her childhood. When he wasn't brutalizing her, he was torturing her pets or the livestock on the family's dairy farm in southern Ontario. Quote, he would punch, kick, and choke me, she said. There was one incident of sexual abuse and many times of verbal and emotional abuse. Glory now lives in Calgary, where she volunteers with the local Humane Society's Violence Prevention Program. She was in Edmonton today speaking at an Alberta SPCA seminar called Cruelty/Crime Connection, Breaking the Chain. It brought together animal welfare agencies, social workers, and cops to talk about the connections between animal cruelty and domestic abuse. Glory's brother brutalized the farm's dogs, cats, and chickens. She was constantly nursing their injuries. Even the milk cows and Glory's pet horse were terrified of him. He would delight in twisting the cows' tails until they bawled in agony. He'd kick them in the stomach and grab them by the head and twist their necks in an attempt to wrestle them to the ground. She never saw him do anything to her horse, but Glory remembers that it would rear up in terror when he came close. Quote, I never had an old pet, she said. Outwardly, she said, their home seemed like a typical 1950s Leave It to Beaver family, but the specter of alcoholism and domestic abuse haunted everything. Another adult brother and his wife also lived on the farm. Quote, their relationship was very stormy and often physically violent, Glory said. After one fight, she said, she watched in horror as her brother took out his rage by killing her cat with an axe and then ramming the tractor into other buildings and machinery. Glory eventually married an abusive man, and it wasn't until 2001 that she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and began to get counseling. Aside from the abuse she personally suffered, Glory said the trauma of helplessly watching her beloved pets suffering affected her too. Quote, even when there was no physical injury to the animal my brother was picking on, she said, I saw and felt the psychological hurt he caused them, and this has scarred me deeply. It was so constant and deliberate. Sarah Davies, who runs the Calgary Humane Society's Violence Prevention Program, said anxiety over leaving beloved pets behind is a major reason that some victims don't leave their abusers. Quote, that's why this society has its own emergency shelters for pets in abusive homes. It gives victims peace of mind that their pets are safe, she explained. It's really helpful in reducing the anxiety. The 21-day service is free, but there must be a referral from a women's shelter, and it's only for household pets. No horses or large animals. The society also has pet foster homes for owners who need more time. In 2008, the society took in 81 animals for 21 abuse victims. Davies is launching a campaign to pressure the provincial government to change laws so that judges can include animals in emergency protection orders. Presently, she said, Alberta law doesn't give judges authority to bar domestic abusers from going near family pets or farm livestock. Domestic abuse and family violence is a complex puzzle, Davies said. Quote, it's really important that individuals recognize the animal piece. That is the news for today. So once again, a huge thank you to everyone who came out to the Shack benefit that happened this past Tuesday. It was a huge success. And I can't thank Jill enough for putting that all together and for all the volunteers who made it happen. And today on Animal Voices, we're going to be listening to a bit of on-site recording, kind of soundscape, sort of fly on the wall listening, maybe. We're going to Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary in Central Ontario. And for those of you who don't know about it, you can check out their website, www.storybookfarmprimatesanctuary.com. It's not a place that's normally open to the public, but it was a few weeks ago now for Peace Day, which was put on in cooperation with the Jane Goodall Institute. So the first clip that we're going to hear is a clip of one of the volunteers explaining who the monkeys are in the primate sanctuary and what their stories are, how they got there, and what they're like now. So we're going to listen to that. It's a bit of a longer clip, so you're going to hear a lot of stories about various different monkeys who live at the primate sanctuary and the conditions that they came in. And some of the conditions that they came in are very, very shocking. Actually, before we get to this, just a reminder, if you want to drop us a line or get a hold of us, you can always email us, animalvoices@gmail.com, and you can check out this show soon and many other past shows on our website, www.animalvoices.ca. But for now, we're going to hear about some of the monkeys at the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary.
Introduce you to our residents and what we do at Storybook Farm. Where do our monkeys come from? There are no laws in Canada governing the monkeys, so we get them from biomedical research, zoos, university, and private residents. Our residents are exactly that. They're residents. Once they arrive at the farm, they do not leave. Other things that Storybook Farm does, we advocate on the behalf of primates. We help facilitate the public awareness, and we also educate the public about the need to respect all animals. Our first resident is Pierre. Pierre is 8 years old. He's an old baboon. We believe he was part of a consolidated zoo purchase, and he wasn't wanted. He arrived in a cage, no water, no straw. We found out that his former keepers were French, so one of our young volunteers ended up going and pulling some French phrases off the computer for us, and so we ended up talking that until he learned English and could understand us. A couple of things, he likes corn, he likes training and intellectual challenges, and he loves to sit outside. One thing he doesn't like is he doesn't like it when Sweet Pea is upset with us. Sweet Pea is an olive baboon. She's 9 years old. She actually came from a roadside zoo. She does have boredom-associated behaviors. She's a self-mutilator, and she bites herself. She will never, now that she has those behaviors, she will never get rid of them. We have been able to lessen the occurrence of them, but as with most primates, once they have a behavior, they keep it. The couple of things she loves is she loves faux fur and fur. She loves to groom them, which is a comfort to her. In the wild, that's something that they naturally do. So we give her stuffed toys. We've cut up fur coats, vests, faux fur vests. She likes those as well. She'll actually put those up in her sleeping box. She doesn't like to have things taken away from her. She gets quite upset with that. And she doesn't like any loud sounds or anything like that. Lexi's a Japanese macaque. She's 8 years old. We actually, she actually came to the sanctuary as a partner for Yoshi. Yoshi's partner, Kiedo, passed on. And he was mourning her death. So we brought Lexi in for comfort. Lexi came actually from another facility, and we did find out that she was human raised. She was actually put into like a wicker laundry basket, and then they used to tape it shut. So, as you, if you put a human in there, you're going to have problems. So she's the same way. She loves her dolls. That's what she is her comfort thing. She has these plastic dolls that she carries around. We actually have some lovely, Anne has some lovely photos of her with cuddling her doll. One of the things Lexi doesn't like is she doesn't like to be looked in the eye, and no smiling as well. Julian is a Japanese macaque. We don't know how old he is. He actually came from a roadside zoo as well. He has behavioral issues. The one thing he doesn't like is he does not like to be looked at. So we ask that you respect that. When he's actually quite curious, but as soon as you look at him, he will bang the wall and then he will bite himself. So when we're preparing our meals, or preparing their meals, he's actually quite curious and he looks and watches. So we'll sit and we'll just keep doing it and we don't look at him and we'll chat away to him and he's perfectly fine. A couple of things that he likes is he loves his swimming pool. We got him one of those kiddie pools, and he just thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. The one word to describe it was bliss. Mr. Jenkins, he's our black-handed spider monkey. He's 8 years old. He actually came from a roadside zoo that we purchased him for the entertainment industry. They wanted him to pick up a phone. He didn't pick it up the way they wanted him to. He didn't pick it up the way they wanted him to. And so they discarded him. He came here. He's quite a happy little guy. He loves celery. And he likes to, I don't know why, but he loves to smoosh it all over. He gets it all foamy and smooshes it all over his chest. I have no idea why, but it's one of his favorite things. And he doesn't really have many dislikes, or at least there's none that we know of. He's quite happy. We do know that at one point he was in a private residence, and he had been kept in a isolated room alone. And so he ended up learning behaviors like pinching and twisting and things like that. So you'll notice it will be yellow lines on the barn floor if you could just keep to the one side of it so that you're not within range. George and Susie. George and Susie came to us. They're both black spider monkeys. George is 41. Susie's 31 plus years. We do know for Susie, we had found out she had been sold by a major Canadian zoo to an animal dealer, who then ended up the roadside circuit. She ended up with George. They ended up at our facility. George and Susie both came to us with health issues. They became had bacterial infections. Susie actually had rotten teeth, which caused an abscess. Both of them are quite healthy now. Susie's getting quite frail because of her age. But another problem with George, too, is he didn't move around very well, which we thought was perhaps because of his advanced age. That was not the case. We put up lots of rope, and he's fine now. George and Susie. George loves women, in particular blondes. He is quite chatty. And Susie likes the men. She gets quite chatty. And they like their sweets. That's another thing. They do like their treats. Razzle, Kai, and Baby Kismet. Razzle came to us when we got her. She actually arrived with her dead partner. The place that they picked her up at, her partner was in there, and he hadn't survived. So they went to remove him, and she just freaked. So they left her partner in, and we took both of them home. With most, as with humans, they need their time to grieve. So we allowed her that time, and then she allowed us to remove her partner. She became quite ill after that. She was worked on around the clock by the family. I'm happy to say she is very healthy now. She's a beautiful lady. We have Kai, who became her partner. Razzle is elderly. We thought she couldn't breed. Unfortunately, she could, so we had baby Kai. She was a little bit of a surprise. However, Kai is now fixed, so there's no more breeding. A couple of things they love is they love to snuggle together. They love to leap around, and they love their grapes. Then we have our ring-tailed lemur kids, Smokey, Bandit, and Keanu. They're 5 years old. They're housed together as well. They're the same. They love their grapes. They love to snuggle. They like to jump around. They love to sunbathe. Rosie and Komodo. Komodo came from a roadside zoo. We don't know how old they are. We do know that Rosie is actually elderly. When Komodo came to us, he actually couldn't jump around. He would just run around in circles. So we went on the assumption that he was in a place where he didn't have that freedom. Now he's perfectly fine. He jumps around. Also with Komodo, he had had an accident, which we had to amputate his arm. And he's perfectly fine. Even with one arm gone, he's all over the cage, and he goes outside, and you'd never know. Rosie is actually quite curious. She's quite funny because we have our kitchen sink. When you go to the barn, you'll see it, and we'll pile the dishes up, and then we'll start doing the dishes. She comes over, and she actually grabs the dishes and pulls them because she wants to see what's in them. And she'll sit and chat with you, too. So are the lemur boys, because they're right behind you. You'll hear them chattering away. Amigo and Pablo actually came with another marmoset by the name of Sanchez. Sanchez has since passed on, but we still have Amigo and Pablo. They are common marmosets. They actually came from a Canadian zoo that was trying to set up a marmoset colony that apparently did not go well. They all came to us with injuries. I think it's Amigo that has the scar over his eye. All of them are fine. All of them are healthy. A couple of things they love. They love their live crickets. They love their heat lamps. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story with them. Sherry had given them a plastic container and cut out just enough that they could get their paw in. And she put a couple of, I think it was mealworms in there, or some kind of worms. So they were flipping it over and trying to lift the lid. And anyways, one of them managed to get the worm. Well, the other one became very upset and ended up letting Sherry know his displeasure, because he'd flip it and then he'd go right at her, because there was two or three of us standing there, but he knew it was her that gave him the dish. So he did that until he finally managed to get his treat. Mickey's a black penciled marmoset. She actually came last year in December. She was actually rescued from a pet store, and the individuals phoned us and brought her here. She loves her grapes. She loves swinging in her hammock. And the one thing she doesn't like is mealworms in her dinner bowl. The boys don't mind it, so we just automatically assumed she'd be the same way. That did not go down very well. She refused to eat her dinner because the mealworm had crawled all over. So we haven't made that mistake again. Nan and Chelsea. Nan is 34 years. Chelsea's 17 years. They're Hamadryas baboons. They came from a roadside zoo. Nan has some vision problems now because of her age. She doesn't see very well, but she gets around perfectly fine. She loves the sun. She gets up there when the sun, and she closes her eyes. Chelsea has some behavioral issues, as with a lot of the primates. Her favorite things is she loves rubber boots. She loves to groom them. They give a lot of comfort to her. The one thing she doesn't like is George touching her boots. We found out that yesterday because we heard her screaming. And we went over and then we discovered George sticking his paw through into her spot and trying to grab her rubber boot. She was not a happy camper. So now we know why she's been screaming. Another thing she likes is she likes, I believe the gentleman's name is Mark Hebescher. He's a news anchor. She gets quite excited when he comes on the TV. Monkey do's and don'ts. So we have some rules. Before we go into the barn, we ask that you don't show your teeth. So no smiling, no grinning, nothing like that. That's actually a sign of aggression. Don't stare, don't run up to them, don't put your hands in their cages, anything along that line. Don't laugh. Most of them do not like loud sounds. It frightens them. And remove any sunglasses or hats. Monkey do's. Stand very relaxed. Be low-key. Watch their behaviors. And if you're not feeling well, we do ask you either not to go in the barn or wear a mask. You can transfer. If you've got a cold, you can actually pass it on to them. What's going to happen? You'll wash your hands and the bottoms of your shoes going in the barn and coming back out. We ask that you don't talk in the barn. Your guide... we'll actually have a little section afterwards when you come out of the barn to ask any questions.
You were just listening to a clip from Lauren and I's recent trip to the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary, and that was for Peace Day. Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary is not somewhere that's normally open to the public, but they allowed us in and allowed a bunch of other people in to show off the work that they do and try and raise some funds. They're a group of people who are trying their best to do right by these primates who have come from some pretty awful situations, and we're highlighting that work on today's program. And the clip that you're going to hear next is the actual tour that we took with Sherry Delaney. And Sherry Delaney runs the Primate Sanctuary with her awesome group of volunteers, and this is us going on a tour of the actual facility itself. And in this clip, you're going to hear some monkey sounds, so here you go.
You're kind of clean in and clean out. So when you come into the barn, there is a hand sanitizer to your left. Please use the hand sanitizer and then use it again at the end of the barn. Even if you haven't touched anything, we're just ensuring it's just a policy that we have to keep everything clean and clean in, clean out, right? We can kind of huddle in this corner. So, normally what we have here is we have a no-talk policy. Because you guys are voices that they don't know. They know my voice, so I do the talking, or one of the... Look at, he's trying to steal my grapes. Hold on a second, I'll give you one. That's Bandit. So, the reason we have the no-talk policy is because it's about respect for them. So this is their house, although I hear a few voices there. But anyway, that's how we try and work things here. So you have Rosie and Komodo up there, who are... rough bleemers, and the Komodo actually is missing an arm. That was an amputation that had to be done after an injury. And then right here, these guys are ring-tailed bleemers, and that's Bandit, and that's Smokey, and Keanu over there. Yeah, wants all the grapes. So, one more and that's it. That's just a sneeze. He's sneezing. So these guys are in a not all male grouping because we don't promote breeding here. So these guys live in their own little group. Normally above you have Miss Mickey or you have Pablo who run the tunnels, and the tunnels are our way of trying to give them some sort of treetop canopy is what they might have in the wild, okay? Doesn't simulate it to the best, but you try. So, and Mickey is out of a pet store in the St. Catharines area. So, and then over here we have Kismet, who's patiently trying to wait for a grape. And this is Kai. And that would be Razzle down there. And I think when I had talked to you, it was Razzle. I had told you about Razzle's story about her being half dead when she came in here with her dead partner in the kennel. So, aren't they fluffy? You guys are not going to want your dinner tonight, that's for sure. Now these guys are what I call flight animals. So if something scares them, they're going to jump away from it. Some of our bigger guys that are outside at the front that you saw, Sweet Pea, Pierre, those are what I call flight animals. So if something they perceive something as a threat, they're going to engage as opposed to back down and fly away. So. Yeah. That's it. So come on down here. Yeah, that's Pablo. And this is Amigo. Just give him a little. Oh, wait, you guys are really enjoying this. That's a great today, aren't you? Now, you're taller than I am. Can you just get that little grape in there on him?
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chelsea, you came in. You came in.
So this is Chelsea. Chelsea is a Hemidurus baboon, and I don't know where the heck Nan was. We have Chelsea and Nan in here. Chelsea likes to watch TV. That's her TV. And she likes to watch TV. She also likes to steal Nan's food. So that sometimes is a bit of a problem. But Chelsea, do you guys know Star Trek? Hey? She doesn't like Star Trek. She screams when Star Trek comes on. She does not like Star Trek. And Chelsea loves her boots. She's got a black boot over there, a rubber boot. She likes her rubber boots. Those are her favorite things. And she also has a little beanie baby that's right there. And that's her baby. That's her dolly. And she's holding it, see? She's holding it like a baby. Hey, Chow. Yeah. So, and she's a very good girl. Nan, who's in here as well, is blind, but she does okay for an old blind girl. She's 30 plus years old, probably, I think, 36 or 37. So this is George, and George is a black spider monkey. You see they have the prehensile tail. He is partnered with Susie, who is our little sun goddess outside, who does not like to come in. She just kind of bakes in the sun and turns from time to time, like that. Loves the sun. Now, if he's puckering at you, pucker back at him. Because he's asking you a question. He's wondering if you're friends or not. So if you pucker, then you're answering his question. Right, George?
And actually, what you guys are, the enrichment for the day, because this place is normally not open to anybody. So you're like a little human parade who's following through today. And he's very engaging. He's not bothered by this. He's trying to engage you, right? Do you agree? Okay. We don't want to come within grab reach of Jenkins. So Jenkins is actually, he was out of the movie industry. He was purchased to do a movie where he answered the telephone. Jenkins refused to do it. Not that he couldn't learn it. I'm sure he wouldn't learn it. And then he went to a place where they did educational tours. They want to do educational things with kids. Jenkins is not good for that because he's a grabber. He knows how to pinch and where to pinch. So he wasn't good for that. So then he went to auction. So at auction, the people wanted to get $4,500 for him. The bid only went up to some 40 something, and so they didn't sell him at auction. And then he went back home with them. We made contact with them from there and worked to have him come here. So that's Jenkins. Jenkins is a good one to keep you in check. If you're working out here and you're doing something and you're really concentrating and you move one inch too close, he's gonna let you know that that's where you are. So in the barn, you'll see that we have a lot of this white. This is recycled plastic, plastic bags. And we use it because it's non-toxic. It's also, the guys don't really like to chew it, but the biggest reason why we use it is it's white, and it shows where all the dirt is. So that way we know where we need to tackle for cleaning purposes. Now this barn is heated, so this is 70 degrees in the winter, unfortunately. So you're looking at approximately an oil tank every 2 weeks. So that runs you basically $800 to $1,000 every 2 weeks to heat this building. So, and then over here, so this is good for you guys. You guys need to see over here. without getting too close to Jenkins here. Lauren, if you could just sneak this way, I'll just close the door for a moment. So. These birds belong to two little boys, and those little boys decided they really wanted a bird. So, Mom, I want a bird. Dad, I want a bird. But then when they got the birds home, they didn't realize they had to clean up after them, and they had to clean their poo, and they had to come home every day and feed them. So they didn't always get to go and play with their friends or do what they wanted to do, right? So then they didn't want them anymore. So when you have a pet, or when you think you want a pet, it's very, very important that you really think about what you have to do in order to keep that pet, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? My mom and dad let me get a bunny, and I didn't like to clean up the poo from the bunny. So I like to cuddle the bunny, but not the poo. And you know, when you have a pet, you gotta do all kinds of things with having a pet, right? Do you guys have a dog or anything now?
Two dogs. Greyhounds. Rescues, I met.
Oh, very good. So do you guys have to walk your dogs?
Oh, they don't
greyhounds
walk.
Don't. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They don't walk.
Well, you still gotta feed them. You still got a pooper scoop. Somebody's got to do it, right? So, yeah. So you guys know what that's like. So come on out, and we'll just... Do you guys have any questions?
You were just listening to another clip from the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary Peace Day celebrations that happened just a few weeks ago in September. And we were fortunate enough to attend, and the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary folks were nice enough to let us record there. It's, as Sherry mentioned in that clip, it's not a place that's normally open to the public or very many people at all. There is a small team of volunteers, including Sherry, who runs the farm, and they do a bang-up job, and they're trying their best to provide homes for these primates who have come from some pretty awful situations. So what you just heard was Sherry giving a small group of about five or six people a tour through the sanctuary, and you heard lots of monkey noises and even a little bit of a speech from Sherry to a couple of kids who were there, who I guess their parents had told Sherry that their kids wanted some new pets, and she was giving them a kind of lecture about the responsibilities inherent in guarding an animal. The next clip you're going to hear is a very, very short one, but I thought it would be fun to include it. This is a clip of a couple of dads hanging outside after the tour, and they're talking about the comparison of some of the primates to 2-year-olds.
So before you hit me,
ton of work.
Don't scratch it.
Everybody thinks, a monkey be so such a great pet. Yeah, right. I wouldn't even want one. It's like having a 2-year-old running around the house. Yep. 40 years. And then 20 of them.
Yeah. Forget that. I didn't like 2-year-olds when my kids were 2 years old, so I wouldn't want it.
And that was a clip of a couple of dads outside the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary main area, and they're comparing some of the primates in the place to 2-year-olds who will proceed to terrorize your house for their lifespan, which in some cases can be up to 40 years. It may seem like a strange clip to have played, but I played it because I recently found out that a lot of people actually do keep monkeys as pets, and so that was a bit of a strange one for me to find out. The next clip you're going to hear is about 3 minutes or so, and it is a clip of one of the volunteers at the sanctuary doing a tour of the outside. There are a couple of outside the facility, there are some sort of extensions to the building that allow the primates to have outside time as well. And there's a wing specifically dedicated to some of the more dangerous monkeys. So in the next clip, you're going to hear one of the volunteers describing the dangerous monkeys. And these are monkeys who require very special care because they've come from particularly bad situations and have behavioral behavioral problems. But when you hear where these animals have come from, it's no wonder that they're aggressive and not easy to deal with. So this is that clip. Check it out.
Pick at it and have it sometimes. It's there if they want it. Mm-hmm. So he's just really well. He's pretty friendly. But again, I would never go in the cage with Pierre. There's safety involved there. I would, at most, I would hold it food and let him take it from my hand. Uh-huh. Some of the other big guys I wouldn't do that with because they're not okay. Like they're really nervous around people. We have two other Japanese macaques that we're not going to show you guys around back, Lexi and Julian. They both came from roadside zoos, and they weren't treated very well. He had ran away. For about 2 weeks he's on the run, and we had found him after that, and we brought him here with Lexi. So and when he first came, he if you came anywhere near him, he would freak out. He's very unhappy. Now I'm able to hold food and let him grab it, but only sometimes he doesn't like that, and he will chew on his arm, which is a sign of being unhappy or angry. He does that a lot less now than he did before, which is great. He's definitely improving, but we don't ever want to look them in the eye, because primates, they take that as an aggression for them. They don't like that. They think it's you wanna fight them, and they're ready to attack. So we have a few types of animals. Those big guys, we like to think of them as like attack animals. So if you're making a lot of noise and you're their area, they're gonna attack, right? So we're not gonna bring you guys too close to them, for safety reasons, obviously. And the area where they are, it's pretty small, it's pretty tight in there. I think they're just actually preparing their food for them right now in there anyways. And then the rest of the animals, they're more like a flight animal, so if there's a lot of loud noise or something, they're gonna run back. So let's see a few of those. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you see, this is P over here. She's another Oliver Boone. I don't know if she's out, but just stay away from here. We don't want to get too close to the cage. We don't want her to get upset. She doesn't like to be stared at either. Kind of like if you were staring at you for a long period of time, you might get upset, right? Same with these guys. So this is her outside area. They all have outside and inside areas. They can come and go as they please, whatever they choose. And she was outside a little bit. They all have some foliage in their area as well. Resembles their natural habitat as best as we can here for them, obviously. So those guys are the outside areas. And when they go in here, just a few rules of the barn before we step in. As you can see, everyone right there is putting their feet in like a basin. It's a sanitizer just to get clean the soles of your feet. We don't want to track anything in the barn that shouldn't be there. Likewise, when you're leaving, we're going to dip our feet in a basin as well, so we don't want to take anything from the barn out. So, and there's also hand sanitizer to use. You're not going to be touching anything, but it's just for a safety precaution as well before we move on. And when we're inside, I don't know if I just said this or not, but I'm going to be the only one talking because they're comfortable with my voice now. Not so much with any of you guys, right? So it's their home that we're walking into. We want to be respectful. We want to be quiet. And we can just observe. But we're not going to get too close to them because they might get upset.
You were just listening to a clip from Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. That was one of the volunteers describing some of the more dangerous monkeys that live at the Storybook Farm. Last final clip that you're going to hear is an interview with Sherry Delaney that wrapped up our day there. Sherry Delaney runs the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary, and her, along with a group of volunteers and her husband, they do the best with what they have, and they always need more. So this is a bit of a plea for them as well. If you ever run into a money tree or something like that, you can always donate to them at storybookfarmprimatesanctuary.com. That's where you can find more information, including contact info. We highly encourage that you check them out. They have lots of room on their land for more facility, but money is short. So check out this interview with Sherry Delaney that Lauren did to cap off the day at Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. And coming up after that will be maybe a bit of music and Dos Mundos. If you have any questions or comments about this show, please do email me, animalvoices@gmail.com, and do check out this show online and our close to 300-plus shows online now at www.animalvoices.ca.
Hi, welcome to Animal Voices. We're on location here at the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. I am your co-host, Lauren, here with Carl doing the teching and some hosting with us as well. And we're here very, very gladly with Sherry Delaney, and people might remember an interview that we did with her a little while ago, and we just had the pleasure of being here for Peace Day, and we wanted to find out about some of the tours that was going on and an update about what the sanctuary has been up to, and we have a very dedicated woman here, Sherry Delaney, and at the end of a long day, and so we're not going to keep you for too long. So Sherry, tell us about Peace Day.
Wow. Well, we've had a very exciting day here today with a whole lot of people. Peace Day is a celebration worldwide. We're celebrating peace over the world. Today we're doing it in conjunction with the Jane Goodall Institute and Free the Children. So we've had several different organizations come together. We have had nature walks here today. There have been tours of the barn. There have been promoting the animal issues in not only Canada but worldwide with the Jane Goodall Institute. There have been talks by different people on trying to save our planet's water and also look at some of the issues that children over the world are facing. So today was a culmination of a whole lot of people coming together with all trying to make the world a better place. It has been a great day. We did get many people going through the barn learning about the issues that the monkeys have here in Canada. And it's just been an overall very exciting day. We've taught people about enrichment for the monkeys as to try and, give them a better quality of life. And enrichment is how we try and do that. So we've had children making enrichment toys today. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap up with the final talks and the flying of great big peace doves, which are said to be caught on satellite, that people fly as a symbol of peace.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about what's changed since we talked to you last. I know it's a little while ago. Has there been anything new or new that you're looking forward to with the Storybook Farm?
Well, I think we're always growing, and we're always trying to get the word out about our guys and about where they come from and the animals that are in need of assistance here. We are growing in strength with people and awareness, and our five-year or long-term goal is that at some point this home is going to be home to chimpanzees who are also in need of assistance by humans. So that's where our long-term goals are, but we want to continue to advocate on behalf of primates all over the world, not just here in Ontario, but in Canada as well.
You had mentioned at the beginning of the day that you lost one of your guys, and he was somebody that obviously touched you very deeply, and a lot of our listeners talked about Yoshi.
Yes, my longtime friend Yoshi passed away this winter. We had about 6 months, if not more, with him, where blindness had set in. He was becoming too feeble that he couldn't walk up his ladders or anymore, and he actually literally sat like a little old man behind heat lamps. But that sounds kind of sad, but it was actually kind of nice as well. Every day I went down in the morning and at night, and he either had garlic mashed potatoes that I spoon fed him or applesauce. We gave him boost drinks. There's those supplemental drinks.
Yeah.
He'd have a boost drink every day out of a sippy cup, and he quite enjoyed that. Every day when I cracked the door on the barn to go in, I'd hear, "Hoo!" And he would know that I was there and why I was there. And he looked forward to his little treats and our time together. But, as with all animals, he succumbed to age. And I'm just hoping he is free somewhere in the sky now.
And you've been at this for 10 years.
Yeah, it's going on, I think, 12, if I, or even more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the chimps, so there's plans to hopefully expand.
Yes.
This is an enormous property that we're on right now.
Yes, it is an enormous property.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big property, and we do have enough property here that we could provide a couple of different residences and a full chimp house with a compound, and we could also put in a new monkey house as well.
Okay.
We have the room.
And I know that you have to go soon, but can you just give us an overview again of where the animals are coming from, or where would those chimpanzees be coming from?
The chimpanzees could be coming out of labs or private residences in the States. We don't currently have any chimpanzees that are needing homes in Canada,
right.
But they are. This is about thinking globally, not locally.
Yeah.
There's a time to think both ways,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So that's where they would be coming from. Our other guys come from a variety of different. Places. I've gotten two calls in the past week in regards to rehoming or placement on one, a capuchin coming from British Columbia, and also to a baboon coming from the Sudbury area who is currently in a home as a pet. So that gives you a little
understanding. It's a real diversity of places and situations that they're coming from, and you can really tell too that there's such a diversity of personalities, and they're bringing their past with them when they come to you, these different individuals, and they're all responding in different ways.
They sure are.
Yeah.
They sure are.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank
you
so
much. If
you
want to plug a website or let people know how to get in touch,
www.storybookfarmprimatesanctuary.com.